The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
Welcome to Always Right Radio with Bob France on AM 1420. The Answer.
Yes, indeed. Welcome. It is 8 minutes after 9 o'clock on AM 1420. The Answer. Good Wednesday to you. It's the 10th morning of the 4th month in the year of our Lord 2024. And I must do this first before I do anything else. I want to wish the happiest of birthdays to my beautiful bride. She is an absolutely amazing person. You probably already know this, even if you've never met her, because she can put up with and tolerate me. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing we have going on. I screw up, and she forgives me. Thank you for being you, and happy birthday to my wife.
Can you dig it?
All right, and I am not giving you the gift you asked for, though, for your birthday. I will not be giving you a divorce. All right, so we've got a big show lined up for you. We're going to do some top 9 at 9 here in a bit at 10:10. A little bit later on this morning at 10:10, we are going to be talking with Rachel Ehrenfeld. Rachel Ehrenfeld is going to be talking to us about the George Soros agenda and who is truly driving the Biden administration right now. At 10:35, we are going to talk with Jack Windsor, the editor-in-chief and the founder of the Ohio Press Network. We're looking forward to both those chats. He's going to tell us why it is Joe Biden might not be on the ballot in November. Let me say that again. Joe Biden might not be eligible for the presidential ballot in November, at least in the state of Ohio. Why? Because Democrats are discombobulated, bumbling boobs. That's why. So we're going to talk to Jack about that and a whole lot more. How about this? NPR, a longtime 25-year NPR veteran, came forward spilling the dirt on the extraordinary bias in national public radio. That stands for, in case you are wondering, taxpayer-funded radio. You pay for them to provide you. This is, you know what this is? This is the Cleveland Plain Steamer Part 2. The Cleveland Plain Steamer came forth 2 weeks ago with an editorial by the editor of the paper saying, "We don't care if you know that we're biased. We are no longer interested in presenting fair and accurate information when it comes to the news and the direction of this country as it pertains particularly to former president and now candidate Donald Trump. We don't care. We hate him. He's evil, and we will not pretend otherwise." This is literally what they wrote in an editorial. And now they're bragging about it because people are saying, yay! Well, now NPR is doing the same thing. Except this time it's a former NPR employee, but 25 years on the job, he has come forth and said, yeah, NPR is 100% opposed to any shift in ideology among its employees. If you are not radically Democrat, if you are not promoting Democrat ideals, ideas, candidates, issues, and so forth, you are not welcome at NPR. This is a long, long conversation he had. This was posted on Barry Weiss's site, and now the fallout is coming. So we're going to talk about that, too, I promise you. So all of these stories are coming up, and we're going to start with our top 9 and 9. But first, let's do our Pledge of Allegiance. Patriots, stand, face your flag, put your hand on your heart, and join us for this. Don't forget to send me the pictures of the flags you pledge to. I like to post those on my social media pages. It's awesome. And I will do so. Just send them to me on my social media, direct message or otherwise, to France Rants on Twitter and to Always Right Radio on Facebook, and also Always Right WHK on Truth Social, although I don't visit that page nearly as much as I should. But let's go ahead and do our Pledge of Allegiance. If you are a Biden supporter who thinks that the United States sovereignty and national security do not matter, and that our southern border should remain open the way Joe Biden has essentially governed for 3.5 years now, then you do not believe in the glory of this republic. Don't fake it by standing and pledging. Instead, identify yourself as the Marxist dog you are by getting on your knee. For the rest of us,
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, friends, 12 minutes after the hour, let's do this.
It's 9 o'clock. Do you know where your headlines are? We do. It's time for the top 9 at 9 on Always Right Radio.
All right, it's pretty astounding how we're going to start this one. The President of the United States.
Number one.
Biden said in an interview broadcast yesterday on Univision that he and his administration are trying to determine whether or not he has the authority to act on his own to shut down the U.S. southern border. Biden told Univision in the interview that because bipartisan legislation that would have granted him the authority to shut the border was stalled by Republicans in Congress, he was being encouraged to try to do it alone. In other words, Biden now claims he cannot take executive action to secure the border because the courts might rule against him, which didn't stop him when he unilaterally canceled student loan debt. Kind of an interesting perspective. Here's what he said.
Taking executive order in terms of what you want to do at the border, that includes the power to shut down the border as it was suggested.
Well, it suggested that. We're examining whether or not I have that power. I would have that power under the legislation when the border has over 500,000 people, 5,000 people a day trying to cross the border because you can't manage it, slow it up. There's no guarantee that I have that power all by myself.
This man is a bald-faced liar. He issued 94 executive orders in the first 100 days of his administration to end Trump's border policies, including remain in Mexico, catch and release, and stripping law enforcement of the tools they needed to secure the border. He did all of this without any assistance from Congress. It was unilateral. Now he wants you to think that he cannot undo that unilaterally as well. This is, in my estimation, surrendering sovereignty of the state is borderline treasonous, but that's me.
Number two.
A spokesperson for the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, yesterday confirmed that the Speaker would be sending the articles of impeachment against Department of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate at the request of conservatives in the upper chamber. The House voted to impeach Mayorkas in February, but has not yet sent the two articles to the Senate. Senate Democrats who control the chamber were expected to quickly vote this week to dismiss or table the impeachment articles and move on to other business, but Republicans have spent this week demanding that the Senate hold a full Senate trial focused on Mayorkas' handling of border security. You know what this means, don't you? It's not going anywhere, even if it goes over to the Senate. It is not going anywhere. What makes it important, however, is that we hear how bad the border has gotten. So much of what is going on in that border is hidden by the Biden administration. That's why they don't allow Biden or Harris to go down there very often, if at all, because cameras will follow and people will truly see how bad it is. The impeachment trial of Alejandro Mayorkas would expose that to the world. That's why they are doing everything they can to make sure that trial never happens.
Number three.
You know that FISA reform bill that is supposed to be voted on this week in Congress? You know, the one that would allow FISA to continue. It's a reauthorization to continue warrantless spying on American citizens. I talked about it with Jim Jordan on Monday. Yeah, well, that FISA reauthorization, interestingly enough, it has been discovered, has a nice little carve-out in it for members of Congress. The bill requires the FBI to notify and seek consent from Congress before violating the privacy of congressmen. They believe, Thomas Massie wrote on Twitter, that this will persuade many members of Congress to vote yes on this. I'm going to read for you a couple of the actual lines in this, if I can pull this up quickly enough. Yeah, it's a little bit hard to read because it's this is a photo. Excuse me, not a photocopy. It's a photograph. It's a picture of the actual pages of the order. Here it is. Now I can see it a little bit better. The director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation shall promptly notify appropriate congressional leadership of any query conducted by the Federal Bureau of Investigation using a query term that is reasonably believed to be the name or other personally identifying information of a member of Congress, and shall also notify the member who is the subject of the query. The chairs and ranking minority members of the Congressional Intelligence Committee, the Speaker and Minority Leader of the House of Representatives, and the Leader and Minority Leaders of the Senate are all covered by this. The Federal Bureau of Investigation may not, for the exclusive purpose of supplementing the contents of a briefing on the defense against a counterintelligence threat to a member of Congress, conduct a query. The member must be provided consent to use to the use of the query term. So that's a lot of fancy legalese saying rules for thee, but not for me, right? At the end of it all, it's rules for me, for thee, but not for me. Congress wants to be able to spy on you, but if any of the FBI wants to spy on them, they have to notify them so that they can, of course, CYA, cover their aces. That's number three.
Number four.
Jennifer and James Crumbly, parents of Michigan school shooter Ethan Crumbly, sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison yesterday. Ethan Crumbly shot and killed four people at Oxford High School in 2021. His parents were charged. His parents were charged for the actions of the kid. The Crumblys were accused of not securing the newly purchased gun at the home and acting indifferently to signs of Ethan's deteriorating mental health, especially when confronted with a chilling classroom drawing earlier on the very same day. Jennifer Crumbly, the mom, gave testimony in which she admitted to having an extramarital affair, claimed her husband brought the handgun to the home that her son used in the attack. Jennifer and James both denied knowing their son had brought the gun to school with them the day of the attack. On Tuesday in the courtroom, Oakland County Judge Cheryl Matthews said these convictions are not about poor parenting. They're about these convictions confirm repeated acts or lack of acts that could have halted an oncoming runaway train. They were each convicted on four counts of involuntary manslaughter, one for each of the students that their son killed. This one has a lot of tongues wagging about the responsibility of parents for the actions of their kids. We'll talk about that a little bit later on.
Number five.
CNN's Jake Tapper brought in a non-binary ESPN writer who uses they, them pronouns to denounce the NAIA's new policy to protect women's sports from biological males. The guest, named Katie Barnes, claims that it is not scientifically proven that biological men would have any advantage over women and girls. No, seriously, this person said that.
The reality is that from a scientific perspective, we know that there are differences in sexes, and we know that the differences do tend to lead to athletic performance differences as well. However, when we look at broad-based restriction at all levels of sport, it's very challenging to say that scientifically that is supported in all cases.
It's challenging to say that scientifically boys are bigger and faster and stronger than girls. Men are bigger, faster, and stronger than women. It's not scientifically proven yet, says the they-themer. Well done, CNN. You have outdone yourself in your expertise.
Number six.
Speaking of expertise, Sheila Jackson Lee is a Democratic congresswoman from Houston, Texas. She was called to address students before the solar eclipse on Monday to talk about the extraordinary importance of this massive event. What she did to tell these just talking to these students was told them that the moon is a planet and that it's made up of gases, not solids. She said she wants to be the first in line still to learn how to live on this gaseous planet. The former top Democrat on the House Science Committee's Space Subcommittee. Hear that, please. This is the House Science Committee and their Subcommittee on Space. She was the leading Democrat on that committee. This is what she said to the students.
Provide unique light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon at night. And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable, and you will see you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
The sun is serious heat. And it's almost impossible, not impossible, almost impossible to go really near the sun. But the moon is more manageable, and we're going to go back there to that planet, and we're going to walk on its gases again, apparently. I'd like to remind you, this was the Democrats' top member in the House Science Committee's Space Subcommittee. She has a degree from Yale. She also has a law degree. I'm going to say this. There's roughly 340 million people in the United States of America. We choose 435 of them to represent us in Congress. She is one of our 435. You think on that for a moment.
Number seven.
The nationwide average price for gas hit a reported six-month high of $3.60 a gallon yesterday, spiking more than 50% now under Joe Biden. In the past month, gas has gone up more than 20 cents. They're over a dollar more expensive than when Trump left office. When Trump left office, it was $2.38. Now the average is $3.60. Of course, we know it has been higher. Gas prices remain high and could go higher due to industry and political factors. Biden's economic war on American energy instability in the Middle East and in the Ukraine are significant factors. According to Goldman Sachs, gas prices could reach $4 by May, but don't be too surprised if you see $5 or more at the gas pump if you're not paying that much already. And let's remember, this was planned.
You don't have to agree, but I want you to look in my eyes. I guarantee you, we're going to end fossil fuel, and I am not going to cooperate with you, okay?
This is all intentional.
Number eight.
I mentioned it before. It's possible Biden might not qualify to be on the ballot in Ohio in November due to two factors, Ohio law and the date of the DNC, the Democratic National Convention. State law says a candidate must be certified 90 days prior to the election. Well, this year that date would be August 7th. Problem is Democrats aren't holding their convention until August 19th to the 22nd in Chicago. The date of the convention calls into question the logistics, planning, and straight up, I don't know, common sense of Democrats. How the hell could they actually miss the deadline when they scheduled and planned their nominating convention? Secretary of State Frank LaRose is hearing and meeting with Democrat leadership and is going to hear requests to have legislation passed by the General Assembly to provide some sort of a a one-off excuse here or an exception to allow Biden to be on the ballot in November, even though they screwed it up and he shouldn't be. We're going to talk to Windsor about that next hour. And finally,
number nine.
The Arizona Supreme Court yesterday issued a decision upholding of the 160-year-old law that bans abortion in nearly all circumstances. The left is freaking over this. The law was enacted as early as 1864, gives abortion providers a 2 to 5 year prison sentence, and it does not include exceptions for rape or incest. Arizona became a state in 1912. The law might only be enforced prospectively, and enforcement will begin in 14 days to allow the legal process to play out. The blanket abortion prohibition may only be temporary, of course, because advocates are collecting signatures to refer an abortion rights measure to the November 2024 ballot. And there you have it.
This has been the Top 9 at 9 on Always Right Radio. AM 1420, The Answer.
That's a lot of information, a lot of grist for the mill, as it were. Phone lines are open at 216-901-0945, 888-281-1110. Which one of those stories do you want to comment on? Which one do you have a question on? We're going to talk about NPR after the bottom of the hour break. Stay here. It's always
right. The Answer.
Okay, it's 936. There's a lot of different directions to take the conversation in right now, quite frankly. And I'm struggling a little bit to which of these to go with. I can't not play it again and break it down line by line, because I'd swear, if I didn't know any better, and I guess I don't, I would swear that they are having a competition. Talking about the left, and I'm talking about a competition amongst themselves to see who can say the dumbest things and get away with it. It's almost like, we're going to troll the living heck out of the right. We're going to troll the living heck out of the American people. We're going to take turns saying the dumbest stuff we can to see when they finally snap. Because that's the only thing I can think of. When I listen to Sheila Jackson Lee, a Yale graduate, and a graduate, she's got a law degree too. I don't remember where, but we should probably make that them infamous. Seth, can you figure that out? Where did Sheila Jackson Lee go to law school? And then she was on, or is on, and is the ranking member of the Space Committee in Congress, and I'm sorry, the Science Committee and the Space Subcommittee. So this is the space expert and the Yale graduate and some law school or another, which Seth is looking up. You got it, Seth? University of Virginia. So let's make them fit. There you go. So the Virginia School of Law, Yale University for her undergrad. She's on the Space Subcommittee of the House Science Committee. And this is what she said to students on the day of the eclipse on Monday.
Provide unique light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon at night. And sometimes you've heard the word full moon.
Sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Wow. Are you sure? I don't know if I've ever heard the term full moon before, but okay. Well, tell us more, please.
Full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle.
The full moon is the complete rounded circle. You know, as opposed to those circles that have angles on them. You know, the ones that have angles that are like, you know, square. It's that rounded circle as opposed to the other type of circle. Just make sure you're clear on that, too. See, she not only is she a science expert and a space expert, she's really good at geometry, too. She knows that a circle is rounded.
The moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases.
The moon is made up mostly of gases, says Sheila Jackson Lee. Gases. And I'm wondering which gas Neil Armstrong left that boot print in when he took that step off of the lander onto the surface of the moon. I'm just curious, which gas did he stand upon? Which gas did they land the lunar module on? Which gas, and how did those gases support the weight of the astronauts and the lander? And what are those What are those gaseous things that they brought back? Those moon rocks. Did you know that gases can take rock form? I didn't know this, but then again, Seth, did you know this? Did you know that that rocks can be made of gas and that gas can take the form of rocks?
Yeah, I did not know that. There is a very little gas, I'm reading, on the moon. Yes.
So we
the size of a dump truck.
Yeah. We should be clear about this, though. You know, the reason you and I didn't know that gases can be in solid form and that solid forms can be gases like the moon and rocks is because we didn't go to Yale.
Right.
And we didn't go to the Virginia Law School. And we obviously are not smart enough to make it onto the House Science Committee's Space Subcommittee. But let's continue to be educated here.
And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon?
That's why the question is, or the question should be, why, how can we as humans live on gas? Would we have to have, like, space packs to float over the gas? If the moon is made up mostly of gases, I don't understand. What are we planting on the moon? How do we affix ourselves to the moon? How do we put a home there if you said you want to live on the moon? I'm trying to figure that part out too. I wish I had gone to Yale. If I'd gone to Yale, I'd probably know these things.
The gas is such that we could do that.
The gas is such that we could do that. The gas is such that we could live on gas. On gas, not live on gas. Okay.
The sun is a mighty powerful heat.
Excuse me for a moment here. I got to pick myself up off the ground. I'm getting blown away by knowledge. I mean, whew. Did you know, Seth, did you know that the sun isn't just heat? It's mighty powerful heat.
Oh, I'm dying over here.
That thing up there, that big bright thing in the sky, that it's really, really hot, she said.
It's a mighty powerful heat.
It's a mighty powerful heat.
Oh, God.
It's 93 million miles away, and it still warms us. So she wants you to know that's not a moderate heat. That's not a low heat. It's a mighty powerful heat. Something that's that size, that's able to provide that warmth. Mighty powerful heat the sun is. And again, I probably should have paid a little bit more attention when I was taking the science classes I took in high school. Maybe if I'd have paid more attention in college, maybe I would have known that too. But then again, I went to Heidelberg. I didn't go to Yale. They didn't tell me that the sun was mighty powerful heat.
And it's almost impossible to go near the sun.
What? Almost impossible to go near that. Well, it makes sense, though, doesn't it, Seth? Because it's mighty powerful
right.
Hot.
Mighty powerful.
If it's mighty powerful hot, you can. It's almost impossible. But, you know, she didn't say impossible.
No, you could still go. You just have to be careful when you go.
Yeah. You just said, well, I think what AOC said probably applies here. You know, the sun is, like, really, really hot, so it's best to go at night.
Night, yes.
Yes.
When it's dark. You go.
Yes, got to go when it's dark, you know, and that way you can do it. That must be what She-Jack said meant here. It's almost impossible to go near the sun. Okay, I wonder how many trips have been tried so far. I mean, obviously some of them have succeeded because she said it's almost impossible. But I'm wondering, you know, when that first trip to the sun, to get near the sun, even was carried out.
Impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable, and you will see in a moment, or not a moment, you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
To land on those gases, we're assuming here. So, all right, well, I got to tell you, if I wasn't impressed by the eclipse on Monday, I sure am now on Wednesday, now that I know so much more about the solar system. Now that I know so much more about the gassy, oh, and by the way, it's a planet. She called it a planet. So the moon is a planet of gases, and the sun is a mighty powerful heat that it's almost impossible to get near. And we should be able to go and live on those gases. I don't have in this particular clip, by the way, the follow-up there when she said that she is going to be first in line to be one of those people who goes to live on the moon when they get it figured out, to live on those gases. We have a little thing here. We haven't done it yet because I just haven't had time, quite frankly. But we have a little thing here that we've been pondering, kicking around here. This is a... They're all cartoon characters anyway, is kind of the way I phrase this when I asked Johnny Hiles to put something together for me. But all of these leftists are cartoon characters anyway, so I figured we might as well go with Looney Tunes theme to pick the looniest idiot leftist of the day. So I think we just heard our first version of it.
Most of them sound like cartoon characters anyway.
Don't mess with the men in America unless you want to get the benefit.
Tick. Tic-tac-toe, a winner.
It's time for the looniest lefty soundbite of the day.
Provide unique light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon at night. And sometimes you've heard the word full moon.
Nope.
Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases.
Rounded circle.
And that's why the question is why... Or how could we as humans live on the moon?
On the gases.
Are the gases such that we could do that?
Well, that's good.
The sun is a mighty powerful heat.
No.
It is almost impossible.
Almost.
To go near the sun.
Not quite.
The moon is more manageable.
Yes.
And you will see in a moment, or not a moment, you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
This has been the looniest lefty soundbite of the day on Always Right Radio.
And now I'm off to Texas. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, Lordy, 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 help me. I don't know it for a fact, but I would swear they are trolling us. I would swear to you they are trolling us that Kamala and She Jack and Joe Biden himself, AOC... I would swear to you that these people all get together and they say, let's keep doing it. Let's just say the most bizarre, nonsensical, ridiculous things in the world and just wait until they finally crack. We'll let them think we're on crack. But that's the only thing I can think of. It's the only explanation for how they can continue to embarrass themselves with such ridiculous statements. Okay, it's 9:47. We're going to get a timeout here. I want to open up the phone lines. 216-901-0945, 888-281-1110. I want to pivot in the next segment to the Crumblies. Do you believe, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, do you believe that you should be responsible for the criminal actions of your kids? Because that's what happened. 10 to 15 years each for the mom and the dad of the Michigan school shooter, Ethan Crumbley, who killed four of his classmates on Black Friday 2021. The law has spoken. I want to know if you agree with that. It is our responsibility to raise our kids right. You know that and I know that. Should we be held criminally liable if we fail at that effort, in that effort? You tell me how you feel about that. We're going to talk about it next on Always Right Radio.
Finally noticing.
Okay, it is 9:51 now. Thanks for being with us on AM 1420, The Answer. We've got a couple of good guests coming up here. In less than 10 minutes, we're going to talk to Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld about the Soros agenda. Why is he buying up radio stations? If you don't think it's to shut people like me up, then you're not paying attention. It's bad, you know. It's weird because we're going to tie these two stories together. The story of the NPR, 25-year NPR radio producer who is blowing the whistle on all of the radical leftism in the NPR orbit, if you will. He did a survey, found that 87 employees were registered Democrats, found that zero were registered Republicans, almost as if it is a requirement in order to work there. So NPR is publicly funded radio. That's what NPR stands for, is National Public Radio. It means your tax dollars pay for that. They provide the exact opposite of what we provide. And the difference being, of course, is that we are not taxpayer funded. It's kind of important that people know that. I've had people say, how can you criticize NPR or radical, leftist media that is, put out there by the government when you are Salem Media and you guys are radically right? Well, first of all, we're not radical. We're reasonable. We are constitutional. That's what our belief is. But you're right. We are ideologically on the right side of the political spectrum. But the difference being, we don't need to have a bunch of leftists to balance our points of view here because we are not a taxpayer-funded media entity. We are an opinion-based product, and we are giving the opinions that we believe that Americans want to hear and need to hear because they cannot get it from places where they should be able to get all sides of a story from network news and from places like NPR. Network news used to be considered, and I think it was probably the wool was pulled over the eyes of at least some Americans, even back when they were considered to be, somewhat moderately objective when it comes to their news presentation. But network news, going back to Cronkite in the days of the older days, if you will, it was believed to be, hey, that's the way it is. The famous line from Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is, April 10th, 2024. At least they had a pretense of objectivity there. But the network news companies, NBC, ABC, CBS, they gave up that a long time ago. They are just fully in the bag for the radical left now. And while you can say that's fine, you don't have to watch them. True, because of the advent of cable news, because of the advent of conservative talk radio, you can go other places to get the other side of the story. That's how Fox became so successful. It's how Rush became so successful. It's how, Dennis Prager's been doing this for 40 years. And it's how Salem as a company has grown. Because we are offering something that you can't get anywhere else. But we are a for-profit company. It is not incumbent upon us to give you, equal amount of leftist radio, because you get enough leftist television on the networks and, again, on NPR, which was kind of the point of this. So George Soros, we all know who he is. We all know the power that he has. We all know the sway that he holds. George Soros is buying up radio stations by big numbers. And many of them are going to be conservative radio stations that he is probably going to either shut down or shift the formats on. Because they don't want you to be able to get the other side of the story. They want you to have CNN's side. They want you to have NBC's side. They want you to have ABC's and CBS's side. And they don't want you to be able to find out other information unless you actively seek it out online and find websites. And who knows? Well, not who knows. We know. That's who knows. We know that is also under attack. That's what the whole censorship and suppression of speech hearings are about on Capitol Hill, because the leftist platform operators in Silicon Valley who run the internet and run virtually all of the flow of information that we have online, they're censoring and suppressing conservative voices. Listen, how do you know when your side is completely wrong? How do you know when your side cannot win a debate? Is it when you are out-debated by the other side, or is it when you must silence the other side so they cannot out-debate you? That's what they're doing. That's what they do at NPR. That's what Soros is trying to do by shutting down the radio stations, among other things. And that's what they're doing in Silicon Valley by trying to shut down right-wing commentators and demonetizing them on the online platforms. Information and objective reporting of facts so that the people can then make up their own minds on what they support and what they do not, that is a relic of a bygone era. That does not exist anymore. It is now all about subjectivity and pushing your beliefs on others. And again, while you may say they do that on the right too, yes, they do. But there is no publicly funded, taxpayer-supported organization like NPR that exists on the right. So we're going to talk about that. Briefly, before we go to the top of the hour break here, I want to remind you, we are less than 1 week away now from Kyle Rittenhouse Support Day. Kyle Rittenhouse is going to be at Kent State University Tuesday, the 16th, so a week from yesterday. he is going to be presenting, and after what has gone on in some of the other universities where he has been, and the protesters have been shouting him down and trying to force him to leave the stage, trying to stop him from even being able to speak in the first place, creating all, same thing, exactly what I was just discussing, censoring the points of view of people with which they disagree. It's not like I want to out-debate you, it's I want to shut you down and shut you up so that you cannot speak anymore. We have put that link. I have had it on my Facebook page and on my Twitter page for about 2 weeks now. You should click that link to sign up for a ticket. I do not think there is a limit on the tickets, but they are only going to allow ticket holders, who are the first 400 or so who are there, to get in. Because I do believe that we were told by Turning Point USA that it's a venue that holds 400. The left is going to go there and try to shout that kid down, to try to intimidate him and harass him. And I want to bring a strong contingent of patriots like you with me to do just the opposite, to support him. Nothing physical, obviously, but every time they try to scream at him, we are going to cheer him. Every time they try to shut him down, we are going to sing God Bless America. And every time they try to silence this young kid's voice for daring to defend his life rather than taking his own murder a little bit more peacefully and respectfully, just allowing those who are trying to kill him to do so, I want to support that kid. So he's coming to Kent State on Tuesday the 16th. Go to the webpage, my Facebook page. It's Always Right Radio on Facebook, and you can find the link there. It's the top. It's my pinned link. You can also go to, I believe, their webpage, which is events2022.tpusa.com. You may also just want to go to your search engine. Don't use Google, but go to your search engine and just type in Kyle Rittenhouse, Kent State University tickets. But join us. We are going to be there. And what I really want you to do is make sure that you comment to me in the social media pages so I can get a kind of a rough count of how many people are going with me. And then I will be reaching out to you individually to tell you where we will meet, and we will go to the venue together. All right? So I wanted to make sure that we gave that information out there. All right, hour number two coming up. Stay here. It's Always Right Radio.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
This is Always Right Radio on AM 1420, The Answer. Here's your host, Bob France.
Okay, 7 minutes after 10 o'clock on this Wednesday. Good morning. It is the 10th morning of the 4th month of the year of our Lord, 2024. George Soros is one of the most powerful men in the world. According to some, including myself, he's one of the most evil men in the world. He has got a globalist agenda that is intent upon destroying not only Israel, but most importantly, the United States of America. In order for a globalist takeover to be successful, the most powerful nation in the world must be brought to heel. And that is exactly what is happening here. Over the last 2 years, Soros Fund Management, which is his firm, and is now controlled by the Open Society Foundation, became a massive player in radio. The oldest electronic mass media is, of course, radio. And in February, the company became the largest shareholder in Odyssey, the bankrupt second largest radio company in the United States, with more than 230 U.S. stations and a podcast arm that includes Cadence 13 and Pineapple Street Studios. In 2022, Soros invested an undisclosed amount of money in Crooked Media. That's the liberal podcast network behind the ultra-popular Pod Save America. And a Soros-backed company played a crucial role in Univision's $60 million sale in 2022 of 18 Hispanic radio stations to a new firm run by veterans of Democrat politics. What does all of that mean to you? If you don't understand that it means they are trying to take over the entire medium of radio and replacing conservative. It is like literally the last bastion of true conservative thought where people can go to get the other side of the left-wing story that they read in the Washington Post and the New York Times and the San Francisco Chronicle, etc., and watch it on NBC and ABC and CBS. You go to radio. So they're trying to take a massive bite out of the power of conservative radio, and that means acquiring as much and as many properties as possible. It is a very, very dangerous situation, I believe, for those people who do rely upon radio to get the balance, if you will. Joining us now to discuss this is the author of a book called The Soros Agenda. Can speak much more specifically to what George Soros is trying to do. Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, the founder and the president of the New York-based American Center for Democracy and the Economic Warfare Institute. Dr. Ehrenfeld, good to have you on the program. How are you?
Thank you. I'm glad to be
all right,
here.
I'm not hearing the doctor. We got to potter up.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Tell us before we get into the specifics about the radio purchases from George Soros and his companies. You wrote an entire book on the Soros agenda. How would you define loosely the Soros agenda?
The Soros agenda is to destroy the strongest, the superpower, which was the only superpower in the world. The United States of America, to destroy its capitalistic system, and to destroy the country by having open borders, dope the people by making drugs available to them, and letting criminals roam the streets and attack people, having illegal migrants that American taxpayer money is paying for, destroy families, promoting transgenderism.
All of those are tools, if I may, Doctor, all of those are tools clearly that are being implemented, and we're watching it all play out in real time before our eyes every single day. But those are tools to accomplish a larger agenda, though. That's what I want to get to. What is the end game for somebody like George Soros and the Open Societies Foundation?
He wanted to change America. He said it when he first opened his Open Society Institute, as it was called in 1993, in New York. He said that he wanted to change America. Well, he did change America. And the book not only described what were the items on his agenda of what he wanted to change, but also the strategies that he used in order to implement and carry out his agenda. And so if you know how he went about it, if you know the strategies, although it's a bit late because he had caused so much damage, but you can, once you learn the strategies, you study them, you can actually try to fight them back and counter them. This is why I wrote the book. It's not only about the United States, but the focus is on the United States because he has and support. Another idea is to support not only woke, but also radical Muslims, radical mm-hmm. Muslim organizations, which his Open Society, now run by Alex, has been doing, supporting demonstrations in the United States everywhere. Okay, so it's not only people deciding to go, they are being paid for them, the anti-Israel, pro-Hamas, radical terrorists who murder people, who butcher them, who rape and kill pregnant women and burn babies. These are the organizations that support them, that Soros is supporting here and elsewhere. So, yeah, they have been doing a lot of harm everywhere.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
This is influencing, of course, the Biden administration.
We're talking to Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, the author of The Soros Agenda. And again, she's the founder and the president of the American Center for Democracy and the Economic Warfare Institute. You write in your book and you speak on weapons of mass effect, including disinformation and free speech suppression, along with indoctrination and propaganda. This is all a big, big part of the Soros apparatus, if you will. Is that why he is trying to take over radio stations, so people cannot get any other information?
Well, sure. If you get the same message everywhere, it's on television, it's on podcasts, it's in the newspapers, it's in radio, well, I guess and people don't have much time. They don't have time to go and look for other news outlets, right? And many, many, many news outlets, radios, television, movies even, are being influenced by money. Many have grants, special grants and special assistance from the Soros organization. So this is being, this is really, if you flood the public with the same message, and at the same time, the government is implementing policies to curb supposedly disinformation. They decide what disinformation is. So if you write the truth and if you show photos that the border is open and illegal migrants are flooding in, or if you show how Hamas did the atrocities in Gaza, for example, YouTube will remove the photos because they are too violent, okay? I had some article posted not long ago, and YouTube actually removed the photos and removed the piece because it was a PDF, because they said it's too violent. So I know it firsthand. Articles that I've written are no longer available. I write the applications. Some of the applications that I've been using tell me that I'm using too much inappropriate language. I should change the language I'm using. I'm getting alerts. I mean, this is crazy. And
Soros
has hands in all these organizations that monitor it and trying to dictate to us what to do, what to say, and what not to say.
Yeah, let me ask you this. In your book, Dr. Ehrenfeld, The Soros Agenda, do you identify his colleagues and his co-conspirators, if you will, in this agenda of his to globalize, to bring about globalization and one world government, the destruction of the United States, the destruction of Israel? Clearly, he cannot do it alone. Who's he working with?
Well, I certainly name many names. The book, the text in the book is only 100 pages. There are additional 150-some pages that are references, sources for the information I use. Everything has been very, very thoroughly vetted. So the information is there. He has many people that are helping him. He cannot do it alone. And actually, the money is interesting because his influence is really overwhelming. And it doesn't even reflect the money that he himself has spent, because he also used money that he was getting, for example, from different U.S. governments to give out to other organizations and from international organizations, too. So, and they give it to him, and they allow him and his organization to claim credit for it instead of saying, okay, we funded it. I actually asked once the State Department, why are you letting the Open Society Foundation distribute money in the former Soviet republics, for example? And they said, well, you know, he has many more hands-on in these countries than we do, which didn't convince me very much. But he has been really wielding large influence, and this has been It started with the Clinton administration. It went on with Obama. And Obama didn't complete the destruction of America, didn't do enough to do that. But Biden actually, the second, we call it the third Obama administration, which is the Biden administration now, is certainly working very fast to accomplish as much as possible before the next election.
Is he working, Dr. Ehrenfeld, directly with and for Soros, or is he just, they just have similar agendas and they're kind of side by side but not communicating?
Well, judging by what is being alleged by how greedy Biden is, and looking at the policies that Biden has been pursuing, not only for Soros, from those who gave him, from other countries, foreign countries, that gave him money, I would think that Biden is actually doing Soros' bid. And Soros must be very happy. For example, back in 1995, Soros had opened the first legal office, or supported the opening of a legal office in California, to support illegal migrants, because he was against the border and immigration laws that were passed during the Clinton administration. Mm-hmm. So that's when he started. He funded that office, and he gave millions of dollars to all kinds of not-for-profit organizations that were operating here and also in Latin America to bring in illegal migrants. So this, we are now catching up to it because Biden has really opened the border completely. But this has been now going on for a long time, and he prepared really the ground for the ability to do this over decades. And I've written about him before. Nobody paid attention. But I did. I actually, in 1995, I wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal and other papers saying that unless we challenge, Soros will be able to change the political landscape of the United States. This was 1995.
Wow.
I didn't have a crystal ball, but looking at the things that he started to do, legalizing drugs and opening the border, and then he started also with his criminal justice reform that we are now facing all the time, criminals that are hitting everybody. He started it early on. I wrote about it. He's so rich, you know. If this is what he wants to fund, why not? People weren't able to see where this will lead. Fortunately, I did. I hope that now people will catch up and will try. Once they know the strategies, they will be able to counter them and stop them.
It's one thing to know the strategies. It's another thing, though, to have the ability to stop them, and that's gonna require a change in leadership. Do you think this country is ready to do that in November? Do you think they're ready to turn away? Do they recognize the danger that Biden poses, particularly because of Soros?
You know, I live in New York, and listening to what people are saying in the streets, and everywhere, actually, everybody's complaining about and fears crime, the illegal migrants that are littering and are really everywhere, the drug abuse everywhere, the high prices that they have to pay everywhere, the inflation, hundreds of thousands of people had left New York already. You see many closed stores that are giving up because they cannot sustain the business because all the theft, because the district attorney releases people, the police doesn't even bother sometimes to arrest them because, well, they will take them to the district attorney and they will be released. So people are fed up, and although this is a blue city and a blue state, I think that many people, if if they want really to stop this, they should absolutely vote this the Democrats and Biden out.
Yeah, and it's going to be a lot more than just voting them out. It's going to take a very concerted effort to bringing other people to vote, and also, most importantly, to do what needs to be done to ensure a free and fair election, to make sure that election fraud is minimized, to make sure that voter identification is required in each of these states, to make sure that ballot drop boxes are not implemented again, that mail-in voting and these kinds of things happen. Because I agree with you.
Absolutely.
I think the mood is right. And the people are tired of it. They see what's going on and how important it is to change direction right now. But, boy, I also see a very committed radical left willing to do anything, including cheat, lie, cheat, and steal in order to win one more election. What your final thoughts, Doctor?
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that paying attention and a lot of attention that the Republicans should put and conservatives and everybody who wants this administration gone should not vote for the Democrats and should pay a lot of attention to what's going on, because if they manage to get elected again, bye-bye, America.
That's right. That is exactly right. I feel the same way. I feel it's horrible to say that, but I feel like the Republic will be doomed never to be seen, at least in its current form, again. Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, the author of The Soros Agenda and also the founder and president of the American Center for Democracy. Dr. Ehrenfeld, thank you so much for shining a light on this. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless. It's 10:25. We're going to take a time out here, bottom of the hour, after the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk to Jack Windsor, editor of the Ohio Free Press, Ohio Press Network, beg your pardon, founder and editor-in-chief of that organization, also hosting a Salem show in Columbus. So Jack will join us after the break on Always Right Radio, AM 1420.
And the answer.
All right, 10:35. Yeah, O'Reilly is, of course, back, and he's on right when we're done at 11:45. We ask him to carry it to the top of the hour each and every day, so make sure the O'Reilly report right there. So, is Joe Biden going to be an option for you in November? Can you actually punch the button for Joe Biden, or will his name not be there? I know it sounds stupid, but then again, we are talking about Democrats, and they're kind of stupid. That sounds extreme. Well, maybe not. Not when you realize that they may have completely screwed the pooch about getting their candidate on the Ohio ballot. I'm going to let Jack Windsor explain exactly what's going on here. Jack Windsor is our friend from the Ohio Press Network. He is the founder and editor-in-chief of that organization. He is also hosting the Windsor Report down there on Salem in Columbus. Jack Windsor, welcome back. Good to have you. How are you?
Hey, Bob. I'm super fantastic. Thanks for choosing me today, man.
Oh, yeah. You got it, bud. So what the hell? They didn't know when you had they didn't know when their candidate's name had to be certified before the election, before they scheduled their Democratic National Convention, Jack. I'm blown away by this story.
Well, I could go in the weeds here way deep inside baseball and probably make your listeners' eyes gloss over, so I'm going to try not to do that. But the simple answer is, what the hell's going on? I mean, how do you set the date of a convention for your party that is supposed to certify your nominee after the fact? Like, you know, Ohio may not be a swing state anymore, but there are enough electoral votes that you think the Democrats would be paying attention to it, right? It's either, wow, their logistics and planning are terrible, number one, or number two, you start scratching your head, right, and going, wait a minute, what's up here? Why are they doing this? Is it intentional? And then you can certainly go down a rabbit hole and start guessing, a lot of answers to that question. But it is odd, to say the least. I understand, and I just went blank on it, but I believe there's another state now that's in question as well. So the Democrats
too.
Are going to, what's your take on it, Bob?
Just to be clear, and I don't know if we made it very clear, so everybody knows exactly what happened here, and I'm quoting you in your article in the Ohio Press Network here. State law requires the candidate be certified 90 days prior to the election. This year, that date falls on August 7th, yet the Democrats aren't holding their national convention until August 19th through the 22nd. So the date
That's
of
right.
the convention, as you wrote, calls into question the logistics and planning of the Democrats. How could they miss the deadline? Now, they want to go to Frank LaRose, And yep. I guess the Secretary of State is going to be talking to them about their options, and it may require the General Assembly to come together and save yep. their bacon, right?
Yes. So they have two options. One, move your convention, which, looking at the logistics of planning that and pulling that off, probably not going to happen. So the plan B would be getting the Democrats to work with the Ohio General Assembly, the Ohio House, the Ohio Senate, to put forward a piece of legislation that would write into the law some sort of appropriate permission to allow Joe Biden on the ballot here in November. But the timeline on that is tight. It was, it would have had to, so I believe it's May 9th would be the date that that piece of legislation would not only have to be drafted, it would have to be discussed and passed into law in order for it to go into effect in time for Biden to get on the ballot. Now, add to that the fact that the Ohio General Assembly is controlled by a supermajority of Republicans, but Bob, you and I would probably hold our noses there calling Jason Stevens a Republican. He acts more like he's on the blue team more than he does the red team. But there are some significant hurdles for Democrats. Joe Biden's going to get on the ballot in Ohio for November.
You asked me my opinion, Jack. My opinion is screw them, to hell with them. But I know that this, because you're right, it may be a supermajority, but it's not really. The Republicans will cave. But in my opinion, the Republican Party and their leadership and their membership in the General Assembly should say, look, this isn't new. We didn't just pass a new law recently that said you have to be certified 90 days before the election. You knew this all along. And if your candidate, you and your candidate, can't do the simplest of things and figure out when you need to have your certification so you can be on the ballot in all 50 states, if you can't manage something as simple as this, how can we trust you to manage the country anyway? And in my opinion, Jack, they can't, because they haven't, obviously. I mean, look at the condition of the country right now. It is an absolute catastrophe. But to me, they should say, look, if it was so important for you, if our state matters to you at all, which it should, then you needed to become certified. You needed to get your guys certified, and you were not going to pass a law making an exception for you. That you're saying, you know what, Jack, I'll take it a step further. All of Trump's trials that he's facing right now, what does Biden and the Democrats all keep saying? No one is above the law. The law is the law.
That's
and
right.
If you violate the law, no one is above the law. Okay, the law in Ohio is you got to be on the ballot, or excuse me, you got to be certified 90 days before the election to be on the ballot. If you don't move your convention and get him certified before then guess what? He's not on the ballot. But remember, no one is above the law.
I'm going to zoom. We need to zoom out and then zoom back in. Let me zoom out and say something that might be funny on the surface, but really is scary when you think about it. You're looking at a regime that I would say that Barack Obama ushered in, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. These are the people who want us to think that, look, socialism or, you know, some sort of Marxism has never really been tried our way, right? And so think about that. You have Kamala Harris thinking that women's basketball didn't have brackets until 2022. And now you have the entire Democratic Party missing deadlines. They can't even get their candidate on the ballot. And these are the people that we're supposed to trust that Marxism will work under them. No joke. I mean, it's kind of funny, but then you go, that's a little bit scary. But let's zoom into this. If the Republicans in Ohio don't put Joe Biden on the ballot, there is an unintended consequence here, Bob. And the unintended consequence is, look, Trump's going to win Ohio anyway. But if you have Joe Biden on the ballot, if there is that need to get out to the poll to at least make sure that Trump wins, you draw more Trump Republicans, you draw more Republicans, you drive more voter turnout. If you don't, what does that do to races down the ticket, most notably Bernie Moreno versus Sherrod Brown? And I think that's the concern here. If you keep Biden off the ballot, are you essentially conceding that Bernie Moreno is going to lose? Because low turnout favors Sherrod Brown. Because believe it or not, there are some Trump Republicans in the Mahoning Valley area who were born and reared to believe that Sherrod's for the working man. You and I know that's about as true as saying smoking is healthy for you. But Republicans need a massive turnout in order for Bernie Moreno to win the U.S. Senate seat. So it's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't situations, it appears.
You know, you're right. It does make sense when you look at it through that lens. I still feel like the state of this country being what it is right now, even if Joe Biden's name is not on it, I still think Republicans, I still think Trump voters will flock to the polls because they want to be on the record with this guy. And then that, of course, would lead to the, you know, to the down ballot voting as well for people like Bernie. And I get your point about Trump Republicans in the Valley, Brown Republicans in the Valley, supportive of Brown for whatever reason. But I can't look. Jack, I'll ask it this way. What do you think it would do if it was reversed? If there was, and Ohio's not a battleground state anymore, it would appear, because Trump won it by 8 points twice in a row, and we all know all the numbers of the Republicans in the state. But if this were a battleground state or a toss-up state or a, you know, sometimes battleground state, whatever, it's gone back and forth. If this happened really anywhere, but particularly in an important state, And Trump and the Republicans didn't schedule their convention right, and he wasn't going to be allowed on the ballot if they didn't move the whole thing. Can you imagine any Democrats controlled state legislature that would pass an exception to make sure that Trump could be on the ballot?
I would say look to Maine, look to Colorado. Those are the states that actually tried to keep Trump off the primary ballot for not breaking a law. He was never convicted. And so you're
never even charged. He was never even charged with insurrection.
That's right.
That's just a word they throw around in the media.
And so you have people who, listen, Bob, Democrats don't, they've never respected the Constitution. They want a pure democracy. And so that is the end, and they will do anything. The means will justify that end to them. So you're talking about people who don't play the game fairly or squarely or honestly. That being said, politics is about optics, right? And you and I both know that the press will bend over backwards to give nuance to progressives in the news if they have to.
Of course.
When it comes to Republicans, there's no nuance. So the story would be, look at those hypocritical Republicans. There was gnashing of teeth when they tried to keep Trump off the ballot in Maine and Colorado. But look at what these boneheads did. They kept Biden off the ballot. These hypocrites. I mean, that's all it would be. So, you know, you have to account for that.
I don't care. They're gonna lie and denigrate the Republicans anyway. You know that. And again, you're right. They have the media. It's how they get away with so many things. They control the narrative. You're not wrong, Jack. But I feel like somebody has to eventually put a foot down and say enough is enough. You literally filed lawsuits to try to stop him from being on the ballot legally. He didn't do anything wrong, and you tried to stop him from being on the ballot. Your guy did do something wrong here, or at least your party did. His party did. They're the ones who missed the deadline. They're the ones who said, you know, hey, let's do it on August 19th or the 22nd. Did we bother to look to see when the certification in the 50 states were and the territories? Well, that's on them.
That's right.
I'm tired of all. Listen. If you're in a fight, and we've talked about this before, and I'm sorry for the overusing the metaphor, but honestly, if you are fighting a fight by the Marquis of Queensberry rules, and the other guy's hitting you with a 2x4 with a nail in it, you're going to lose every single time. Yep. We always try to fight by the rules, and they always try to come out there and beat the crap out of us with every illegal tact that they can. Until we start getting in the mud and fighting at their level, we're going to lose. They would never, ever, ever, ever change the law to cover for a Republican Party mistake that kept Trump off the ballot or any other Republican. Let's move into the future. They would never, I don't care if it's Ron DeSantis or if it's Vivek Ramaswamy, they would never, ever allow a Republican a reprieve in a situation like this. And I think if we do it for them, we're just admitting that we're never really playing to win. We're playing to look good and to make sure that it looks like we played by the rules.
You know, I don't disagree with you as somebody that has a chip on his shoulder and is a little bit feisty. I get it. I mean, you know, and I've said for a long time, if you're gonna win, you got to be as ruthless at times as your opponent within the rules, right? So, I mean, the law is on the side of the Republican. It's clearly stated in the law. You either do or you don't. And by the way, that law is not new. That law is on the books. And you're running a president. This is not like, you know, somebody that is on the school board, running for the school board, first time running for an election. This is all new. I mean, it's crazy, Bob. I agree with you in part. But I'm interested to see what happens. Here's my guess. This is going to be – by the way, the outcome doesn't matter. Biden's going to lose. I think he's going to lose by 10 points or more in Ohio. So whether he's on or off doesn't matter. Trump's going to win Ohio. But that being said, how this is handled I think will affect politics in Ohio, particularly in the state house going forward, because somebody's going to grab onto this and do the right thing or do the wrong thing. And then that's going to turn into another, you know, mudslinging contest between conservative Republicans, Republicans, and Democrats.
Well, you're right about that, and you're right, he probably will win. But I'm going to tell you something else. I take nothing for granted. This is a state, Jack, with all of its redness, with its supermajorities in both chambers, with its sweeping of the state races, and with Trump winning by 8 points the last two times, you'd think there's no way that we would lose by 14 points or 13 points on a debate about abortion on demand on a constitutional amendment. But just last November, 13 and a half points, Jack. So guess what? You know, we might be a red state and we might say, yeah, we've got it locked up. Trump is going to win by 8 to 10 points. I might have thought that. In fact, I did think that before what happened in November. Doesn't that give you a little bit of pause?
It does. But at the same time, I think the dynamics are a little different, and because I think abortion is different than, say, a presidential election. Though Democrats will try to use abortion. Democrats have two levers to pull this election cycle: orange man bad and abortion. Now, you know, the challenge with the abortion issue, I've talked to death, is that it was marketed and messaged by dark money, and a lot of people still have no clue what they voted for. Shame on the press. Shame on low information voters for passing into law abortion on demand and opening the door for kids to be able to be carved up and drugged and parents to be squeezed out of decision making at critical times in their kids' lives. But that being said, this election is different. The branding of Brandon and Trump is different. People essentially know what they're voting for or not. And even people, for example, Bob, there are people who, I believe it was in Tennessee, USA Today just wrote about this. They interviewed a 24-year-old girl who works in the service business. Family came to the United States, I believe, legally. She voted for Biden in 2020. And right now she's going, I just don't know if I can do it. I hate this Trump guy, but I don't know if I can vote for Joe Biden again. Joe Biden has made things so terrible in this country that I think he's going to lose. Now, I know we don't have time to talk about this, the one caveat being the article that you and I discussed offline, which is the elites are willing to cheat, and they're quite comfortable with it, and that should scare the hell out of everybody.
Absolutely. That was my next question for you, so let's tackle that. For those who don't know, Scott Rasmussen, pollster, called this the most terrifying poll result he's ever seen. It was a simple survey that he conducted. He asked voters if they would rather have their candidate lose by playing fair or win by cheating. And the good news is only 7% said they would rather have their candidate win by cheating. But when you break down the demographics of this, those who counted themselves in the top 1% of earners, in other words, the elite, they demonstrated a much higher willingness to cheat rather than lose a race fair and square. That group of people comprise some of the largest political donors, which means they can effect cheating. And they are overwhelmingly Democrats. The cheaters who have money are overwhelmingly Democrats, according to the survey. One step further, Jack, just so we can get you to comment on this part of it, too. More than one-third of them were okay with election fraud if it delivered a victory. And among those who identified as being politically obsessed, 69% say they would rather cheat and win the election than lose fair and square. And again, these are people with the money and the resources to affect these things. And then more than half of this group said there is too much individual freedom in America. Yeah. They don't want people to have freedom. They want the government to have more control, more sway, more power. More than two-thirds of them say they're in favor of rationing energy and food to combat climate change. And also a two-third majority said they would prefer teachers to determine what is taught to children rather than parents. Oh, my Lord, I don't even know what country these people live in, but it's not the one that I'm supposed to be living in. Jack, what do you say?
I say that stunning 69% who said they would be okay with cheating in the election, who are politically obsessed, who make more than $150,000 a year. You go, well, who's that? It's George Soros. It's Hans-Jörg Wyss. It's the founder of LinkedIn. These are the people who are quite all right with throwing their money around and doing whatever it takes to get the outcome that they want.
Mark Zuckerberg.
That's bad news. Mark Zuckerberg, absolutely. And so when you look at that, you go, I mean, this is the making of a totalitarian regime. This is the problem that we have in this country. You have Kamala Harris, who, you know, is a DEI, didn't earn it, promotion. And you have people like that who are ignorant or arrogant enough to believe that they're at the top of the food chain. And if we limit individual freedom, right, if we ration food and energy, I don't care because I'm going to get mine. And that's the issue, Bob. And this issue, by the way, is not just with politicians. Look out, and you see it all the time. We read the same papers. We read the same websites. The arrogance coupled with ignorance of people in the press who are going to stand on top of the mountain and shout down to readers and voters and let them know, we know better than you. I mean, that's what we're up against, Bob. And it really concerns me because it seems like every institution, and I mean every, government, healthcare, education, you name it, they've been not only invaded by, but they are now controlled by, and they've been captured by this type of lunatic thinking.
Well, you're exactly right. They are. And, you know, I'm wondering about the media role in all of this, too. Did you see the NPR reveal from the senior editor at NPR who did the interview with Barry Rice and wrote a piece for the Free Press? Admitting what NPR is all about. I've been at NPR 25 years. Here's how we lost America's trust. That's the headline of his very, very explosive article in which he revealed that there were 87 staffers at NPR who were Democrats, zero who were Republicans. It reflected in their editorial decisions on what they covered and what they didn't, including the Hunter laptop, including Russian collusion and so forth. Jack, I mean, the media has been in the bag for a very, very long time, but this is taxpayer-funded media. And now it's all coming out.
Yeah. Well, you know, in essence, Bob, it has to. I'm going to say something. I hope I can get this around the barn. First of all, I didn't read the article. I need to. I saw the headline. But you know what? We kind of saw this in 2016, too, didn't we? Remember when the press kind of tried to do an about face and go, oh, well, we missed it. We ignored flyover country. We didn't hear Trump voters. And they pretended for a while, and then it didn't take them long to get to the top of the mountain and shout down. Here's what I think is really interesting. So I go back and forth between I'm panicked and I'm concerned and I have hope. Here's what I have hope about, and it's going to be a weird way to say it. The fact that that woman in Stillwater, Oklahoma, who recorded three FBI agents coming to her home, checking up on her because of a Facebook post,
yeah.
The fact that that's going on, the fact that Christopher Wray says that women like that and parents like me who want my kids to learn reading, writing, math, and arithmetic, not LGBTQ plus activism. The fact that they are deploying resources to monitor people like that tells me one thing. The public's not buying it. People, by and large, are not buying it. And it is a last gasp effort by the progressives in the federal apparatus to come down hard on the people through intimidation. Now, if that doesn't work, who knows what may be next. But the bottom line is I do have a little bit of hope. And I think I say all of that to say this. People like that guy at NPR have to do what they're doing because 14% of people trust what they read in the paper or watch on TV. So at some point you got to go, okay, we screwed up. And whether it's sincere or insincere, you've got to admit you have egg on your face and try to, you know, at least recapture some trust from the public.
Well, I think that's very well said, and that's a good way to end our conversation this morning. Jack Windsor, Ohio Press Network. Make sure you subscribe to that at theohiopressnetwork.com, and make sure you check out Jack out if you're in Central Ohio, Columbus way. He does the Windsor Report at 5 o'clock on Salem in Columbus. Jack, always a pleasure. Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate you.
You got it. 10:57, time out. We'll come back. We got more. I want to talk about that Crumbly story. I teased it earlier, and then I went ahead and monologued instead of taking your thoughts on it. But should parents be held accountable for their kids' criminal actions the way they were up in Michigan? We'll hit that story. I want your opinions on that. I'm going to get more into this NPR story because it is extraordinarily important as to whether or not you get the facts and the information you need to make the right decisions in November and every day, quite frankly. So I've got more on that. And, of course, I just want to hear how you feel about it. 216-901-0945, 888-281-1110. Hour 3 is coming up on Always.
This hour of Always Right Radio is brought to you by The Floor King and KeepingMedicareSimple.com.
You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance.
This is Always Right Radio with Bob France on AM 1420, The Answer.
Alrighty, thanks for being with us. It is hour number 3, 8 minutes past 11 o'clock, and yeah, we've got a lot to do in this hour. We're guest-free. So that's for you, 216-901-0945 and 888-281-1110. But honestly, a lot of different things for you to choose from that I would love to get answers on. I'm really the news is a little overwhelming, I think, sometimes. And in this particular moment, not today at this second, but I mean this era in our country, it really is overwhelming. There's so many different things we have to pay attention to. You know what it's easy to do? It's easy to shut down. You know that? You ever just become so overwhelmed at home? You know, kids are sick, dogs crapping all over the place. You know, the whatever your home problems are, the furnace broke. You know, car needs repaired. Just got your hours reduced at work. Whatever it is, and you just kind of eventually go ah, and you just kind of like plop down and say that's it. I got to decompress it. I can't deal with it anymore. It's just too much. It's overwhelming. Every time I fix problem A, problems B and C arrive. And every time I fix those, then I got to eat it. And they just keep on coming, so you just kind of check out. You ever have that feeling of just done? Don't do that when it comes to all of these things facing the country right now. Don't do that. It's very easy to say between the border, between crime, between corruption, amongst gas prices, inflation, everything that we are dealing with right now, the trans issues, education, wokeness, it's easy to say, it's too much, and just check out. I'm going to go watch a ball game. Check out. I'm going to go watch a movie. And you can do that for a little bit. It's okay to do that. I used to say that when I did sports for a living. We're the toy box. The playground. This is where you come when you need to get away from all of the murders, wars, and rapes that are part of the news, and you want to just relax. Go watch the ball game. Go play, you know, go to the movies and play fantasy for a little while, whatever the case might be, right? So I used to say that too, and you can do that for just the brief moment of mental health, but you don't check out and say, well, I can't control any of this. Whatever happens, happens. Don't check out. If you're an activist, stay active. If you are a believer in the glory of the Republic, fight for the glory of the Republic, the nation that was gifted to us. It is all in jeopardy. And if you just say, I can't deal with all of this anymore, it's too much. And I know a lot of people like this. They're good people, but they feel overwhelmed and helpless. And I'm just telling you, don't. Don't. There is safety, there is security, there is strength, and there is support in numbers. Let's make sure that we are all together on this, all right? All right, having said all of that, let's get into some of them. I want to take your calls on this. What about what Jack Windsor and I just discussed? If Biden is not allowed on the ballot because the Democrats screwed it up, it's not the Republicans setting them up. It's not like we're doing what they were doing and, you know, they were trying to get Trump kicked off of the ballot for insurrection and all the other garbage that they were doing because they don't want to face him because they're worried about him. I'm not worried about Joe Biden winning in Ohio, really. But I'm not also a fan of bailing them out of their own messes. We know they would not do this. If the RNC had been scheduled to certify their nominee after the deadline before a given state has listed on their books, and it's been listed that way for years, and they missed it, do you think any Democrat legislature would say, all right, we'll pass a law amending the rules. We'll go ahead and give you an exception, and we'll put your name on the ballot. Do you think they would do that? Hell no. They'd be dancing in the streets. Trump's not on the ballot in this state. These electoral votes are guaranteed for our guy. That's what they would do. But I know what, and Jack made a very good point. He's worried about turnout. If it's a given that Trump is going to win because Biden is on the ballot, will every Republican go to the trouble of voting and thus vote down ballot for important races, congressional races, Senate races, and so forth? It's a good question, which is why I want you to answer it. 216-901-0945. Should the Ohio General Assembly, led by the Republicans, change the rules to allow Joe Biden on the ballot if they screwed this up, which they did? Should they allow his name on the ballot, or should they make them move their convention from in Chicago from August 19th to before August 7th? Because that would be the 90-day deadline. I want to know your opinion on that. 216-901-0945. The Crumley case. I told you about this one before, too. Parents, we have a hard job, don't we? We do everything we can to raise our kids right. And sometimes our kids fall into bad habits. They meet some bad people. They get into bad things, and they do bad things, and maybe they even do criminal things. Is it your fault? And if it is your fault, should you pay a penalty for that? Should you be punished, prison, for something that your kid does? Because that's the question everybody is asking right now after a kind of a monumental milestone type of case in Michigan. Jennifer and James Crumley, the parents of Ethan Crumley, who shot up his high school on November 30th, 2021, Black Friday, in Michigan. Ethan Crumley is now serving time in prison. He will be there for the rest of his life with no possibility of parole. Mom and dad are going to prison, too, for 10 to 15 years each. Ethan shot and killed four students that day. His parents were charged, as I noted earlier, in the top nine at nine. The case played out in court. Prosecutors argued that Jennifer and James, mom and dad, might have prevented the shooting via tragically simple actions, that's a direct quote, that were not taken. On February 2nd, it was reported that Jennifer gave testimony in which she admitted to having an extramarital affair and was distracted by that and away from her kid, and then said it was her husband who bought the handgun that the son used in that attack anyway. Yesterday, the judge said these convictions are not about your poor parenting. They're about repeated lack of acts that could have halted an oncoming runaway train. They were convicted of four counts of involuntary manslaughter, one for each of the students that their son killed. And this has launched a massive nationwide debate now. Should parents be thrown in prison for the actions of their kids, the criminal actions of their kids? And I'm going to say this without a law degree, so take it for what it's worth that way, but this could be precedent setting, and it's a slippery slope. While these two particular parents do seem to be something less than ideal parents, and maybe were ignoring their kids' cries for help and their mental health slipping away, and they didn't do anything about it, and one of them actually bought a gun and left it available for the kid. I don't know if it was bought for him. Some say it was. But they may be egregious, but if the precedent is set in from a legal standpoint that parents can be charged and convicted and sentenced for the criminal actions of their kids, if it's said in this case, how egregious does it have to be for the next case? These two might be really, really bad, but now that the precedent is set, how bad does it have to get before the next one comes around? And now a kid, I don't know, knocks over a liquor store. A kid steals a car and kills somebody, in an accidental way. Well, did you know where your child was? Did you raise your child the right way? Did you monitor their temper? Did you monitor their social media? Did you monitor their mental health and so on and so forth? If these two parents are allowed to be locked up, and they are, do you have any fear that this is something that would expand? Because I feel like when you give governments, and in this case it would be the courts, when you give them the inch, they take 25 billion miles. And I don't know if that's a risk that I'm willing to take by a precedent-setting action like this happening. That's two. Third one, as I mentioned to Jack Windsor as well, and I mentioned it to you, a senior editor, an award-winning senior editor at NPR, National Public Radio, taxpayer-funded radio, where they're supposed to not be partisan. They're not supposed to be ideological driven. They're supposed to be objective and just presenting news, presenting the facts, and then letting you decide and letting you figure out what you really believe and what you support and what you don't support. That's what NPR is supposed to, that's what all media is supposed to do, but particularly if it's taxpayer funded because it's supposed to be providing a public service. Well, Yuri Berliner, the award-winning senior editor at NPR, said that's not happening there. NPR is an absolute disaster.
I got so frustrated with what I saw was the, sort of the lack of different perspectives in our coverage that I decided to look at voter registration among our staff. I looked at D.C., where it was fairly easy to access voter registration records, and what I found was 87 registered Democrats on our editorial staff, zero Republicans. I presented this at all hands or a large news meeting, and I said, hey, look, something's gone wrong here. Where, you know, if we're really thinking about diversity and our coverage, like something is really off. If we have 87 Democrats and zero Republicans, maybe you wouldn't be surprised by this, but it was it's what I found. And you know, the response was it wasn't like we're going to change this or try and address this somehow. It was just more like, wow, that's weird.
And they were fine with it. And they didn't change anything, which is exactly the point, which is exactly the problem. And that's why he wrote a very lengthy piece for the Free Press at thefreepress.com. I've been at this headline. I've been at NPR for 25 years. Here's how we lost America's trust. So this is a public radio company. They take millions and millions and millions of taxpayer dollars every year to what? To warp the minds of the electorate, to convince them that all things left are good and all things right are evil. And it's my money. I'm a conservative, and I pay taxes, and my taxes go to fund these guys who can then go on their broadcast airwaves, the biggest platform in the world, and tell everybody that everything I believe is wrong and that we should support Joe Biden and open borders and rising crime and no cash bail and all the rest. It can't be like this, but it is. They made decisions at NPR on editorial and coverage decisions based on their own personal ideology rather than what is it is a responsible thing to report to the people. He talked about the Hunter Biden laptop scandal. Said the NPR completely ignored it. Why? Because it's possible that it would have helped Donald Trump get reelected. Right then and there, NPR should be defunded, not another freaking nickel. And I hope Yuri Berliner is called to testify, along with anybody about that and anything else he can find, in front of a congressional committee, and that the defunding of NPR is launched. It has to be. They said out loud that if we let this Hunter Biden laptop scandal and all of the corruption found within that laptop that would hurt Joe Biden, if we let that become public, Trump's going to win. We can't let that happen. That means they literally affected democracy. He said the same thing about the laptop, but in the reverse was about the coverage of the Russian collusion scandal. The Hillary Clinton campaign planted that entire thing, planned it all, in order to spy on the Trump campaign in 2016. And then they let Trump, they didn't let him get elected, but he was elected. And then they allowed it all to fester for 3 years, that Trump wasn't a duly elected president. He was elected because of Russian collusion, because Team Trump colluded with the Kremlin and Vladimir Putin to get their puppet elected. NPR did nothing, even though they knew full well it was a hoax, it was wrong. They did nothing to stop it. They ought to be defunded immediately. Immediately. I mean, there's so much just absolute dirt and corruption in the mainstream media every single day that to have it be as bad as it is at the public media, meaning the taxpayer-funded media, is just really, really hard to wrap your brain around. 216-901-0945. Okay, Cheryl is calling us from Lakewood. Hi, Cheryl, go ahead.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I cannot believe that there is even a discussion about whether or not the Republicans in Ohio should change the rules to allow Joe, to make it easier for Joe Biden to be on the ballot. What kind of world are we living in? The Democrats have done everything within their power to destroy Donald Trump and anyone who supports him. I mean, they have stopped at nothing. This is how badly they want to make sure that they push their agenda. Yet we are going to be weak enough that we are going to, oh, we have to do something. Oh, let's do something. Let's change this. Are we insane?
Yes, crazy. We are. To answer your question, yes.
We are in a battle to save this country. That means that we do everything, every single thing we can, because, of course, they have all the weaponry on their side. You mean to tell me that whenever we find an opportunity that we're supposed to squander it? This is insanity. No, they should not change any rules. No, they shouldn't do anything to help this vile man who has done. I just don't know how angry I am. Even listening to Jack Windsor, and I love Jack Windsor, but his answer that, oh well, the press will write that. So what? Who cares? This is what they do anyway.
Exactly.
This is what Soros is paying them to do anyway. So we're supposed to change our battle plan based on what the press is going to say about us? This is craziness.
No, I agree with you, Cheryl. You're spot on. Look at it this way, too. We always seem to want to take the higher ground. The Republicans, well, we play by the way. Look what happened. They've got a senator who's accused of stealing gold and a whole bunch of other things, and they won't even do anything about him, talking about Menendez. Meanwhile, George Santos is accused of a bunch of things in the House, and they expel him from the House when they only have a 4-seat majority at the time, and then give the seat up to a Democrat. They're always like, well, we do the right thing. Well, guess what? You do the right thing and lose. They do the wrong thing and win. And as we talked about with that survey, that Rasmussen survey, they're perfectly fine with that. They'd rather cheat and win than play fair and lose. And guess what? We play fair and we lose. And it happens again and again.
And when we lose, what we're going to lose is lose our country. This is what people need to understand. I mean, you know, Republicans are, they're too weak. I know they want to be nice. You know, we always want to be nice. I don't want to be nice.
I don't either. I'm done being nice.
Exactly. I want to save this country for my grandchild. I want him to grow up in a semblance of something that I saw as a nation. And, of course, it's almost all gone now. But whatever we can salvage, we need to fight to salvage. They better get a backbone from someplace if they
Cheryl,
want to save this
Cheryl,
country.
You're spot on, and you're a good patriot. So I have to ask you this question. What's a patriot like you doing in a place like Flakewood?
Oh, no, this is just one of my rental properties.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
I don't actually live here.
I feel so bad for the real good people who find themselves stuck in places where they would rather not be. So good for you. Cheryl, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. She's not wrong. She's all over it. Diane in West Park, pretty close there, too. Diane, go right ahead.
Thank you, Bob. I have to disagree with Cheryl. I think that we need to choose our battles. I do think we should put them up to a fight on the ballot, whether he's on the ballot. And, yes, I think it would be fair to ask them to change their date. I think we should let them know that, they really goofed up on this. I mean, I can't believe it.
Well, it's one or the other. Diane, it's one or the other. It's either they change their date, which would be logistically really, really hard for them because this whole, they got just, hotels blocked off and all of the logistics and the infrastructure to hold this thing on August 19th. If they had to move it up to the first week of August to beat the deadline, it would be almost impossible for them to do. So the two choices are they change the date to meet the deadline and therefore he's on the ballot, or they get the Ohio General Assembly to say, keep it where it is, keep your date there, and we'll let him on anyway. Those are the two choices.
Well, I think that, yes, they, but I, okay, so again, although it's going to be really, really hard for them to change the date, let them go through the legislature and let's put up at least, look, we're going to lose this fight anyhow. I just think that for the integrity of us as Americans, We do not want to keep anybody off the ballot. It was a mistake for sure. It was a stupid mistake, but it was a mistake.
But to be clear, though, we wouldn't be, Diane, keeping anybody off the ballot. It would be because the onus is on the candidate and the party to make the ballot. In other words, it's wide open. It's available to you. Do what you have to do to be on the ballot. In other words, it's not like somebody is blocking them. It's just they have to move things on. They have to do it on their own, fix their own mistake, and they can be on the ballot. Nobody would have a problem with that. But if they refuse to fix their own mistake and they want the General Assembly to pass a law that basically circumvents the law to give them special permission, that's another story altogether.
But those are the choices.
Well, yes, but the choices for the Republican controlled legislature is vote yay and change the law and allow them to keep their convention where it is, or to vote no, we're not letting them letting him get on the ballot with an exception, and therefore they're going to have to move their convention.
Have them move the convention?
Well, I'm with you.
Whether or not it's feasible or not. I mean,
yeah, I'm with you. Make them go through it. They're the ones who screwed themselves up. I'm with you. So what you would be voting then, Diane, based on you actually agree with Cheryl more than you realize. You're saying no, the General Assembly in Columbus should not change the rules to give Biden access while he just continues to have their convention where it is. You're saying they should make them move the convention.
Yes, but I think Cheryl was pointing out more like we should fight along the way they fight, and I don't think that we should ever take it. I'm sorry, let's take Cheryl out of it. I don't mean to be
about
her opinion.
It's okay,
but I don't like the idea of they'll fight dirty, let's fight dirty ourselves. I don't like that whole feeling of that. Yes, make them, you know, let them, well, again, make them do something to make it right.
Yeah, well, there you go. And thank you for the call, Diane. I appreciate it. We got to get to our news here. The bottom of the hour is here. But the reality is Diane may not realize this, but she is literally saying both things. She doesn't like the notion of doing something, saying, let's fight dirty like them. But you wouldn't be fighting dirty. You would just be saying we're going to uphold the law. The law in Ohio says you have to be certified by August 7th because that's 90 days before the election. That's up to you to get certified by August 11th. And if that means you've got August 7th, that means if you've got to move your convention up, then do it. Do what you've got to do. But we're not going to change the rules to allow you to keep it where it is and let you be on the ballot anyway. That's that, you know, it's not fighting dirty, but the left would paint it that way. And I think that was the only real difference in opinion. Quick timeout, right back.
The Answer.
Okay, 11:36. That means it's the final segment of the program, so let's make it count. 216-901-0945 and 888-281-1110. AC in the CLE. You're on the air. AC, go right ahead.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, AC.
Real quick.
Yes, sir.
First of all, you're being too hard on Sheila, all right? These moon gases are made up of the flatulence of Earth cattle. So you need to follow the science on that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's my. I admitted my fault. My shortcomings here. I didn't go to Yale, so if I'd have gone to Yale, I probably would have learned more about that cow flatulence and how much that rises to the moon and creates that big planet up there that the moon is. Okay. Thank you.
Right.
And I really do. I should probably go back to school. What else you got?
Right. Both of us. Okay. The other thing is, yesterday you talked about the eclipse and you said that it wasn't the rapture, that the rapture didn't happen.
Yes.
All right. Now, Jesus made it clear in Matthew 24 that the sign of the rapture will not be a shadow of darkness, which the eclipse produced, but he said, as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So I wanted to clarify that.
So when's the lightning coming out of the east and going to the west?
When the rapture takes place, which no man knows the day or hour of.
I know, that's kind of what I meant. I was like, you know, because they could predict the eclipse down to the minute, you know, the day and the minute. So can they can't predict they can't predict the lightning though, huh?
Right. No, they can't. No man's going to know it.
Yeah. Well, and
it happens when it happens.
It happens. That's right. It happens when it happens. I did and thank you, my friend. I appreciate the call, AC. I did like the idea that somebody floated yesterday. No pun intended when I say floated, Seth, I could see Seth doing something like this too. Buy 100 blow up dolls. And I could stop the sentence there and say I think sentence there and say I think Seth would do that.
Done.
But buy just stop right there. But no, buy them and inflate them not with air but with helium. And then let them all loose at the same time and watch people freak out thinking it was the rapture. That would be something. TJ next in Cleveland. TJ, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, Bob, I've called you for a long time.
Yeah.
And I never thought I was better than that. I was always willing to get down in the gutter with these people. But this time here, I don't want to get in the gutter with them. And I'll tell you why. I agree with Jack Windsor on this. I think the Democrats are doing this intentionally. This isn't a mistake. Okay, they know they've lost the state of Ohio. They know this, no matter what they do. Biden's mm-hmm. not going to win here.
Right.
But it could affect a lot of Republicans going, well, hey, we got this baby wrapped up. Don't go to the polls, and they hand it over to Sherrod Brown. And isn't it funny they seem to be doing this in red states where Biden doesn't have a chance?
What was the other state where this is
well,
an issue?
Weren't they talking? I forget.
Jack brought it up, too, and I saw it, too, but I don't remember which one it was. But I do know there was one other state that I saw that Biden, you know, same thing. The certification has to be before a certain date, and their convention doesn't meet it. I just don't remember what state it was.
And they're not that dumb. That they're doing, I honestly believe they're doing this on purpose. They think, like I said, they can't get Biden, but maybe they can salvage Sherrod Brown in the senator's seat.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't put anything past them. And I'm willing to get down into the gutter with them almost every time. But this one time, this is not a hill I want to die on.
Well, I get it, and I respect the opinion very much. And thank you, TJ, for the call. I will say this, however. I will trust my Republican voters in this state to go and vote for Bernie Moreno and Donald Trump anyway, even if Biden's name is not on the ballot. I mean, you're not wrong that they're dirty and duplicitous enough to do such a thing, that it is intentional. You're not wrong. But I'm just saying I'm not giving them the victory. I'm not going to say, oh, the law doesn't apply. Remember, what are they doing to Trump? The law, you know, no one is above the law. Okay, well, guess what? The law in Ohio is you have to be certified 90 days before the election. And if Biden doesn't meet that, then he's not on the ballot. No one is above the law. And then trust my Republican voters to still come out there and support Donald Trump and Bernie Moreno and give him the numbers that he needs to beat Sherrod Brown. That's my hope. TJ, thank you. Joe in Cleveland. Joe, you're next. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, Bill, how are you?
I'm good, Joe. What's on your mind?
I'm with Cheryl altogether. If you want to put good bacon, sometimes you got to get in the mud with the pig. I'm with Cheryl. We got them down. They screwed this up. Let them have it. We ought to take them down for all that they've done to us. We should return the favor sometime. Just being Mr. Nice Guy and not wanting to hurt anybody, stealing and getting in the mud with these people. Forget it. Get in the mud with them. And do unto them as they're doing unto us.
And, you know, the reality, Joe, is we're not even really getting into the mud because we're not, you know, doing something to block Joe Biden from the ballot. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden has every opportunity to be on that ballot. They just got to move their convention up. That's a them problem, not an us problem. All we're doing is saying, we're not going to throw you a rope. Mm-hmm. We're going to let you decide how you want to do it, but we're not going to throw you a rope to save yourself. That's different than what they tried to do to Trump, which is to literally stop him from making the ballot.
They bend and break the law to hurt Trump. They bend and break the law to hurt everybody else. And now we're going to bend and break the law to satisfy them. What sense does that make?
I'm with you. Good call. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. Thank you. We should not do that. And again, we're not hurting him. We're not hurting them. We're not doing anything actively. All we're doing is refusing to pass a law that says, okay, the law doesn't matter anymore. The law about certification can be waived. We'll just do whatever. You know, whenever you guys feel like certifying, we're all good. No, sorry. Make them fix their own mistake. That's how I feel about it. Tanya in Akron. Hi, Tanya. Go ahead.
Let me call you back. Okay, bye. Yeah, hey. Can you hear me?
I got you. Go ahead, Tanya. You're a little bit far away, though. So.
Okay, so what I was saying is I agree that we should let them have to change their date and use all of Soros' money to move it. Move it to another city. We don't care.
Right.
As long as you get it done. Use some of that $190 million that you have to move your convention because you were stupid.
I love you. I love you. You say it exactly as I feel it. That is exactly right. And I didn't even think about it from the money standpoint. They've got all this money that they're going to spend to try to force that guy back into office. His old Skeletor bones propped up there like Weekend at Bernie's. And they're going to spend millions and millions. How about we make them spend some of those millions moving their stupid convention because of their own mistakes? And then it's less money that they have to actually campaign.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.